David Mead is a self-proclaimed researcher predicting that a series of apocalyptic events will begin on September 23rd and that a major part of the world will not be the same. And according to Mead, the mysterious rogue planet Nibiru, also known as Planet X, is on a collision course with Earth that will bring world-ending tsunamis and earthquakes. The numerologist claims that the dates of recent events like the Great American Solar Eclipse and the Hurricane Harvey's flooding of Texas were all marked in the Bible. Mead now says his Planet X theory lines up with more Bible codes and ancient markers on the Egyptian pyramids. Well, in a moment, Bob Fletcher back with us on Coast to Coast. We're going to talk about his work on Nibiru as well on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Bob Fletcher back with us, a multifaceted entrepreneur, international consultant, manufacturer, merging a small toy manufacturing business back in 1985 with a corporation that turned out to be a supplier of weapons for the U.S. intelligence agencies worldwide, involving the highest levels of covert operations. Now, the merger placed Bob in a position of becoming a federal witness and led to him permanently becoming an investigative researcher as well, chasing corruption and all kinds of things. Bob, what a career. Welcome back.
Oh, wow. And that was like just the second half of my life. The first half was even equally as exciting. Well, almost as exciting anyhow. My old friend Sonny Bono, I had been the promotion director, manager, etc. for MCA in London and ABC Records in the earlier part of my life.
Right.
Which was an exciting career, but when I started manufacturing my own interesting toy, I merged it with a company that, son of a gun, that sure turned my life around. It turned out to be a huge shell company operation for the Central Intelligence.
Oh, jeez.
Carrying on all the secret covert wars and all that stuff around, and they tried to turn me into a James Bond, for crying out loud. And that was an extraordinary turn of events for myself.
What did they want with a toy company, Bob?
Fronts? To my surprise, they've done it for a long time, and that is the covert operatives utilize standard businesses that are non-suspicious for travel among different foreign countries and all of that, strictly as a covert front. And, of course, a money laundering situation. I was right in the middle of the Iran-Contra mess. And, of course, I ended up testifying and supplying, being a sworn witness, a whistleblower, and supplied information about a whole multitude of facets to the Iran-Contra mess. And, of course, that was primarily a combination of super high-level intelligence operations, drug smuggling, and weapons sales of weapons globally. These characters were, well, it's all the same group of guys. And later on, as I really got into it, it's this same handful of guys that are ready at a phone call to supply weapons, supply military training, train mercenaries, and all of that.
To anybody who pays,
and
I would guess.
It's always the same people. It's amazing. But anyhow, that was the start of a change of my life. At first off, I was overwhelmed that these radical criminal-type activities taking place out of my toy factory, for one thing, with meetings with military generals and all of that, but and they were selling, supplying, and setting up the shipping of Hellfire missiles and whatever.
Incredible!
So it was rather a change of life, but the amazing thing was it shocked me into realizing how much criminality was going on out of our government. Once I had testified and pursued, again, because they interfaced with so many things, several congressional and senatorial investigations were underway in a million directions during the 90s, and that's when it was. And I ended up being involved in terms of supplying witness information and what have you. But then I started doing investigations and ended up turning a huge amount of documentation on all these crazy events and actions and what have you to many congressional and Senate investigations. And it got to be where when they wanted to see if they could fill in something in one of their puzzles, they would call Bob Fletcher. And I ended up eventually even running for the United States Congress in Florida, running against a guy who was a criminal congressman seated. And I actually did very good. I was like within 9 percentage points.
You got close.
Setting the apple cart. But anyhow, that was in reality. That's how it started, and I found out that they had been doing it all the time for years and probably still are with taking over small companies. They merge them in.
Did they approach you, or did you approach them?
Well, what happened with it, actually, I was at a huge marketing company. We were based out of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Good market.
I went to a huge marketing show in New York City. And it was like, 30,000 people there, one of those types of things, in a multitude of different enterprises.
Yeah.
And this fellow gave me his business card and said, that he had this huge operation selling material goods to the 7-Eleven stores, convenience stores, and he wanted to buy thousands of my products that I was manufacturing, which was a novelty-oriented material goods. And that was great. I just took his card and ran him off and then later on followed up. When I followed up on the address, lo and behold, this guy was located across the street from me in Atlanta. So it was obvious he was chasing me ahead of time.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They had their eyes on you.
And the reason for that, I found out later, was 2 years prior to having my toy manufacturing company, I had an international consulting company, and my partner was the partner in consulate general for the country of Liberia out of Washington. So apparently that was the thing. Between having location right next to me, I guess it looked like an easy mark. And they did end up, not only I ended up merging my company before, I had no way of knowing what this guy was doing. And his name was Gary Best. And he's still doing it, to my surprise. I thought he had been killed a couple of years ago because he was doing cooperative, what do they call, double agent activities in Russia and everything else. He was really heavy duty.
Well, how in the world did you get involved with Nibiru and work like that?
Well, and what happened, again, I was, because I had done a whole bunch of investigations at the congressional and Senate level, and I had done stuff with, as a matter of fact, Sonny Bono later on, but someone had contacted me and wanted me to look into the missing multitudes of huge amounts of money. And I had already previously done several investigations chasing millions of dollars with an M, but this fellow said there was billions and trillions vanishing at a very high level in our government, and might I look into it? And I said, well, yeah, okay, sure, and blah, blah. And so I started looking at the money disappearing, and that ended up leading me to the amount of underground facilities that were being built around the globe.
Aha,
100 of them here in America.
Then you're saying, I wonder what these are for.
That's right. And the point was that those were great places and the reason for all the vanishing money. But what it spun off from that was, why would this happen? Why would also foreign nations be doing the same kind of underground facilities? And then it led to a couple of people that said, have you looked into Planet X or Nibiru? Because if it's returning, that obviously was a good reason for the elite New World Order crowd to have abilities to disappear underground if they had to. So that was how I ended up getting into Nibiru. Originally, I was skeptical. I didn't know much about it. I don't like to get into things without knowing what I'm talking about. So I spent quite a bit of time researching it and crossed paths with a lot of people, and the reality of how the Nibiru thing became much more realistic than it commonly might be, other than being a rumor that was talked about on talk shows, you know.
Well, I got to tell you, we're getting close, according to some. Now, do you tie in at all, Bob, to this September 23rd prophetic date that they keep talking about?
Dating it, I did the DVD, this expose called Incoming, which we talked about when I was on your program last time.
Last year. Yeah.
And, it's really hard to do specific dates. And if you doing the research that I did, which was really extensive, and I was doing it off of the backs of guys that have actually been into this for much longer than I had, and it always came, all of the ancient writings on this thing, including, you know, drawings on the cave walls, and sky disk that was discovered in Germany that was a couple thousand years old that actually dated and described the event of this huge planet crossing our paths and going around the sun. And then, of course, all the biblical writings, all the same, and the Chinese emperor many years ago, his people tracked it and actually saw it and tracked it day by day. But most of them all seem to indicate, in fact, that this took place during, like, March and April of the years that it did come by, and that the first sightings was usually in December, where people around the globe were spotting it as a new star, you know, in the sky, and then coming and becoming closer. So the dates, I pretty much convinced from all of those ancient writings, just like the Halley's Comet that comes around every 75 years, and you can pretty much mark the calendar, doesn't miss by much time at all, in being the same time. My feeling is that it probably will repeat itself and be first seen sometime around December, and then January, February, March, it gets closer, and then making its run around the sun, and that's the period of time, obviously, when it causes the greatest effect. But in my DVD, Incoming, I clearly explained and spelled out all of this, and it included... I hate to use the words predicting, but I could foresee likely the timing being the same, and that it also would start. Now, I put that out about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago when I did the Incoming DVD, but I put in there that things that we should expect. If, in fact, it was coming back, and by that I mean it's an unknown entity, et cetera, and you can call it what you want, but that when it started to come back, that we absolutely, number one, would see a change in the solar system, and number two, that it would start affecting the sun and all the planets, and we would see an increase in meteoric problems, we would see an increase in global changes,
more severe weather,
including earthquake, and of course weather, and that the weather would change and start getting really crazy for a multitude of reasons and progressively get worse and worse. And what is interesting is that back in 1995, and I testified before the United States Senate subcommittee, the Intelligence Subcommittee, and I apparently had said something about weather control to on an interview with the United Press International or somebody back at that time, and one of the senators on the committee kind of surprised me, sort of ambushed me by asking me about the statement I had made about weather control. So I'm kind of like debating against myself here. That is, at that early point, 95, I was the first person that publicly confronted the United States Senate Intelligence Committee with the fact that we were like bandits because we were utilizing advanced weather control back then, or had the ability to do it. And this particular senator, I was amazed because he's either was pulling my leg and making like he knew nothing about it, or he was one of the small, or not really small, I was going to say, one of the many congressmen and senators that really don't know what's going on up there, you know, because we had already signed a United Nations treaty saying that, and the verbiage in it actually was, now that we, the United States, Russia, and China, had the ability to control the weather, manipulate the weather, and create earthquakes, that we have to sign a treaty of agreement saying, in fact, we will not use it as a weapon of war.
Hmm.
Now, of course, you know, treaties is like promises.
Right. They're all made to be broken.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's kind of like foolishness, I guess. But that's the reality. And I already had done so much research on that. I had an entire package on weather control as a weapon. And so I'm kind of like, it's a conflicting conversation this evening, because it's either that I know it was correct with the weather as a weapon. And by the way, it's changed from back then. It was predominantly the seeding of clouds.
Just simply seeding.
But it's now changed to where it's an electronic superheating of the atmosphere and the water, and doing it by doing alterations with laser-type weapons from triangulation of satellites. So it's very serious now. Red Chinese has it. The Russians have it. And I believe at this point, if we didn't think that screwball in North Korea doesn't have the ability to fool with it a little bit, we would be making a mistake.
Do you think, Bob, with all these hurricanes that we're experiencing, and we hadn't had one in 10 or 11 years prior to this, and they just keep coming over and over again? You know, now there's Hurricane Maria, and who knows what's next?
Right. First off, I think, and I don't know, I think that it is, in fact, an effect of Nibiru coming in. I do believe that. Now, if it is not, then it is, in fact, weather wars. We are, in fact,
manipulation.
Being manipulated weather, and again, it's really become a science. The Red Chinese, I think, have 3,500 personnel just working for their weather control operation.
Dedicated to just that.
Yes, right. And of course, the Russians, they've had it for a long time. Believe it or not, they were selling weather. If people needed rain over a given area a few years ago, the Russian government was doing very well at supplying it.
Huh. And then they go out and make it rain.
Right. And as far as the new part now, of course, being electronic, which is much more...
Hold on, Bob, right there at that point, electronic weather manipulation. We'll talk about that. Bob Fletcher with us. His DVD is called Incoming, the only exposé of the incoming of Nibiru. We are back talking about Planet X, Nibiru. Bob Fletcher with us. His website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Bob, let's get back into this. Is this the same Nibiru, of course, that Zachariah Sitchin has written about, the 3,600-year elliptical orbit Nibiru?
Absolutely, as far as I am concerned. Now, there had been a debate as to whether there had been an error back, whatever, many years ago, relative to the writing and the translations, as to whether it was, in fact, 3,000 years or 300 and or 350 or 300 years.
I see.
And only one
big difference.
Only one little misinterpreted writing back in the old the script would have made, again, that's right, you said it's just that one digit, but a misinformation or a misunderstanding of the digit would make it 3 instead of 35 or 3,000, it would have been 300. So there's kind of a debate, but nobody's been around since 300 years ago to verify it physically.
That's right.
Or 3,000. So we don't know. Now, I made an important point several times in the incoming DVD because we covered everything. I tried to cover.
And it's still available, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, there's actually two others. There's a separate one on weather control that I had done quite a while back, where I, the spin-off from my testimony before the Senate, but and another one called Weapons of Mass Control, which also involves the weather control a little bit, and then other strange electronics such as an aircraft that drags a unit behind it in the air and overrides radio programs and subconsciously implants signals and stuff. And we actually have live footage on that aircraft. That's a separate one. So there are actually three of them that fall in that category, three DVDs, and they're all still available on my website. But anyhow, I got sidetracked.
Well, we were talking about the orbit.
I interrupted myself there. So we're not positive, but it's also it's a moot point whether it's 3,000 or 300. Again, I go so much by all of those old writings in terms of where everybody says, when is it going to be? Well, again, I think it's going to be seen as a star in December of the year that we're going to first see it. Now, whether that's this December or next or a few years down the road, it's hard to put a finger on that. But something that I made a point of several times in the DVD of Incoming, and that is that the United States government, just for us, just for America, they cannot permit people, first off, to find out about this. They cannot ever announce it. They can't come on and do a presidential thing and say, oh, by the way, in a couple of months, we may have the waters sucked right out of the ocean beds like the Noah's floods or any of that. It's impossible because of, obviously, the amount of total panic that would be, it'd be global. So they can't even permit us to reach the December that it may start being seen by 10,000 amateur
astronomers, sure.
Right. So, because for the first one or two, and then there'll be 10, then it'll be 10,000. So, what I'm saying is they would have to have or feel that they have as much control over the people as they can. Now, that means we must be into martial law in the United States before
it happens
by a bunch of random people. It'll be visible by their satellites and telescopic satellites that they already have out there. They'll have a good vision of this thing. It is infrared. It was not easily seen, et cetera, until it reaches a point where it reflects our sun.
And it's bigger than the Earth, isn't it?
About 5 to 7 times, with about 5 moons are expected to be traveling with it.
Is it still inhabited, Bob? Sitchin believed it used to be.
Uh, I don't know anything about that. I've gotten no letters or emails from anybody up there, so that part of it's a little unknown. But the bottom line is, and that may, by the way, it may even have been, going by Sitchin's information, it may even actually have been one of the moons traveling with Nibiru that was actually physically habitated or had people on it. And again, that's something that you can read all you want, or all you, it's impossible to put your hand on it. But the bottom line is that I believe that when martial law is declared, it would be obviously, I think, a month or two prior to the December that it's visualized or going to be seen.
This is dramatic.
So now, here's the bottom line, of course. The stuff that's going on now, I believe, well, again, it's hard to tell whether this is being generated by as a weapon of war by other people or if it is, in fact, the effect of the incoming Nibiru. But I do know...
Or all of the above.
Or both of them. And that certainly is a possibility. But I do know that since I put out, a couple of years ago when I put out the incoming DVD, that I very specifically said, we got to watch the planets. All of the planets in the last year and a half to 2 years have had unusual effects taking place. They've had their, all the atmospheres of them have been, the ones that have atmosphere that's measurable. Chemical changes, changes in their, the storms that are on the different planets going all the way out to Pluto. There has been variations in the orbits, some of them very small, but nonetheless recognizable. The sun, in terms of the solar flares and the huge holes developing in the sun, they are in larger numbers. I also pointed out that we should expect increases in meteoric showers, meteor showers. That is a fact taking place. I said probably the weather in general would be all screwed up for a lot of different reasons, but from the incoming of Nibiru, that is taking place. We know that. The 2 years, in the last year and a half to 2 years, the entire globe has been undergoing record-breaking, unusual, rare, and destructive weather.
All kinds.
Earthquakes, cracks in the earth, holes just popping up, right?
Wait till the volcanoes start, Bob.
Volcanoes have started. There's 45 to 50 of them blowing their tops today as we speak. It's not covered unless you get in there, you know, and God bless you and the few other good talk programs that give us a little more news than you're going to get from the regular media. The media, I was told by a good friend of mine, who was very, very high up in the Central Intelligence, used to write speeches for Bill Casey. All right, who was the head of the CIA
at the time, sure.
Reagan. And by the way, during Reagan's time was when my best understanding was that he was informed in 83 that Nibiru was real and it was headed back in. And that was a point in time when the money thing, the underground facilities started expanding and all of the Star Wars stuff. They started doing all of that, but 80% of it was aimed out, away from the Earth, looking outwards, instead of what they said, looking towards Earth to keep track of rockets and what have you, nuclear problems and stuff. But that was a period of time when all of that changed. So anyhow, the changes on Earth...
And they're dramatic changes too, Bob. They're dramatic changes. They're not small. Oh, they're big. They sway back
and forth. And I might mention something that's been not, I don't think anybody's talked about it at all, something that I discovered just a little while back. You know, down the East Coast in the Atlantic Ocean is a huge, like a figure eight water flow beneath the ocean. And it goes all the way from the northern the North Pole up there by the glaciers and what have you, the cap, the ice cap at the North Pole, and comes down, and it's in a huge, like I say, a figure eight. It comes all the way down like to near Miami, and then circles back around on itself, just like a continuing flow of underground water. Now, the salt content has been completely altered in the Atlantic Ocean due to the melting of the glaciers and the ice cap. It's putting fresh water in to such volume that, in fact, it's altering the salt content, which changes the potential of our seasons and the storms, the development of storms, because of the difference of warm water, cold water, etc., creating low pressure, low points of where water can be drawn up into the sky, etc., and create these storms. So that's something nobody's talking much about, but it's a very realistic scientific event. Now, I would say whether we're talking just Nibiru's effects or we're talking the combination of bad guys fooling with the ocean, fooling with the existing storms and making them bigger, steering them. See, with highs and lows, we saw an unbelievable visual thing in Texas. When that storm came in through Texas, there was a huge low-pressure area to the east and a low-pressure area to, a high-pressure area to the east and a high-pressure area on the west, and it channeled and maintain that storm like going right down a bowling alley going into Texas. And these things are things that the manipulation of weather and the modification certainly can be done with the new electronics and the manner by which they're doing this now. So, again, like I say, I'm kind of getting into a debate between myself and me with weather, in fact. It's predominantly Nibiru, Planet X, or it's a combination, or just...
And you might want to add also the possibility of some kind of weaponry doing it as a war type thing.
Well, and literally, that's what it amounts to. Now, the idea of, weather control as a weapon of war, which was that treaty that I referred to that we signed around 1976, 77 at the United Nations. We also had weather modification, a serious subcommittee on environment and atmosphere and scientific technology in October of 1977 at the Senate and congressional level. We've had Claiborne Pell many years ago. Now we're talking even in the early 70s or late 60s. Senator Claiborne Pell came out and he simply said that the worst thing in the future was going to be weather wars and being applied by our enemies and ourselves at our enemies. And that was a whole thing that he had written up, a whole big movement he had going, and that was Senator Claiborne Pell in the 70s. Amazingly, George, I had somebody sent to me quite a while back a Life magazine of 1948.
Wow.
Where they were levitating solid mass and igniting fires and cutting or burning holes utilizing super ultrasonic high frequency sound waves. And it's the cover of the January 5, 1948 Life magazine. Is that amazing?
It is.
That's really a long time ago.
It sure is.
So when people talk about, oh, they couldn't do it, and, you know, only God can handle the weather, and so, nah, I'm afraid we're fooling with some of God's works.
And you're right. I mean, you know, the volcanoes, Mexico had a volcano the moment of the earthquake. Italy's got one going, and these are big, potential, huge earthquakes.
Oh, it's terrible. We have 7.1
volcanoes
in Mexico. And and by the way, the volcanic activity is done utilizing extreme low-frequency electronic vibrational generations in the earth, causing movement of you know, areas that may be likely where they have good faults, like Los Angeles.
Yeah, well, that's right. And, you know, the New Madrid Fault that goes right through the Midwest.
Certainly, and that could be a gigantic, well, any of them at this time. You know, we've built these giant cities over top of so many of these faults. I mean, it's almost really stupidity, but because obviously we know when the Los Angeles big one hits, that's going to be just
devastating.
Something
devastating.
Else. But and again, it's hard to judge which one is most likely, whether it's just the reaction of the incoming of a strange planetary intruder, or if in fact it's the weather wars.
Bob, is the world in chaos?
Not yet. I mean, of course, if you look at it, it certainly
is. It seems like it is.
With these combinations of, and we have the Korean problem, that's mind-boggling. That guy, you know, is completely out of hand. My information is, which I mentioned briefly, that the likelihood of him, that character in North Korea, not having the same potential to affect the weather as a weapon, the chances of him not having him is not very likely, because he's been getting high-level assistance from Red China, and Red China's just eaten up with this with their ability.
Oh, they've got. As a matter of fact, when they hosted the Olympics, they knew that they were going to manipulate the weather to stop it from raining or whatever they needed to do.
Good weather. They absolutely guaranteed it. And also, Russia, a few years ago, in Malaysia, they were suffering extreme smoke in Malaysia from huge, gigantic forest fires near the country, the Malaysian strip there. So bad that people were dying in the streets. You could not breathe. And they actually contracted with the Soviet Union to create and generate a cyclone or two to blow the smoke away.
Jeez, and they did. Bob, stay with us at the top of the hour. We're going to come back with your final hour, and we're going to take some phone calls as we talk about Nibiru, Planet X, a few more questions, and then your calls on Coast to Coast AM.